I want to know what prayer means to people of different religions.
Aren't we more alike than we are different?
There's so much to learn about my neighbor's faith and what matters to her. But where do I start?
Bringing people of different religious backgrounds together to share their beliefs, what inspires them, the stories they have. This is People of Faith with Carol Makita on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. We have a most interesting guest today who has written some very deep personal feelings into her first book. The title will make you smile, but it is a very serious subject. It is called Confessions of a Molly Mormon, and it's written by Ilona Shelley. The subtitle, Trading Perfectionism for Peace, Fear for Faith, Judging for Joy. And there's a lot to cover, but Ilona, thank you so much for being here to share with us.
My pleasure.
Let's begin at the beginning, where I thought you were really very brave, first of all, to talk about your life so openly. And I can understand sharing these things with family and close friends. But then how did you decide that you were going to be brave enough to write it and write it for who knows who to read?
Well, it was kind of a process. I gave a talk in 2005, I think it was, where I talked about some of these things. And there was such a response among people that came to talk to me afterwards that I could really feel the need to share this and to help each other and lift each other. And then somebody got a hold of that talk that did an online magazine for LDS women, and then they asked me to turn it into an article. So I worked with them, with their editors, and it became an article, and then there was more feedback. And so it was kind of just a process of realizing we just really need to talk about this.
Mm-hmm. People struggle with faith much more than they are willing to admit, I think.
Yes.
They secretly suffer, right?
Yes, and perfectionism is such an issue among LDS women, and even some LDS men. I found as men have come to me and said, I love your book, and I've been so surprised. But then they share with me little things, and it's like, yeah, it is a universal need.
I think many people of many faiths expect if you are trying to be a faithful person, then you should be striving to be perfect and look at themselves literally or figuratively and say, oh, I'm failing miserably. There's a bookmark, this question is really quite compelling. How can the gospel be the plan of happiness if I feel so miserable trying to live it? And I guess that's what hit you finally one day, huh?
Exactly. I think when we say this is the true church, then we feel like I have to be the perfect person. And all these principles make me so that I'm supposed to be better than the rest of the world. And then we fall in the trap instead of really looking at what Christ is offering us.
Yeah, exactly. It is his gospel, after all.
Yes, and it's a gospel of love and peace and of growing and repenting and finding joy in him, not a gospel of judgment. And I just got so hung up in the judgment part that I kept trying to fix everything that was wrong with me so I could survive that judgment.
Well, I'm intrigued by, in your research and conversations, the words Molly Mormon. Where did that title come from? Do you have any idea how far back that goes?
You know, in my mind, I think back to my early Relief Society days when I was a young mother. Mm-hmm. And I really can't remember where I started identifying with that so much. But I can remember somebody kind of making fun of Molly Mormon. And I, in my heart, I just thought, what's wrong with that? She's doing everything right. She's the perfect disciple. And so for me, I just was trying to be that person. And then it was kind of an interesting situation to have one of my friends making fun of that. And I mm-hmm. look back now and I think, you know, she understood. She understood much more than I did. I was still trying to become that person. Mm-hmm. And she was like, no, this is crazy.
You invite us back into your early life as a child in growing up in Idaho in a Latter-day Saint family. But I was intrigued to hear you say that in terms of faith or religion, there was a lot of fear for you as a child about where you were and where the future would lead you.
Yes, and I think that people were well-intended in teaching me that, you know, God wants us to live good lives. And I think that their motive is, you know, you'll be happy if you live a good life. But because of the way I internalized it, it was like, I'm going to be in trouble if I don't live a good life. Mm-hmm. God is going to be mad at me if I don't live a good life. Mm-hmm. And so instead of learning to love God and use his commandments to help me feel peace, it just brought so much turmoil. And really, when I was born, I was a happy, happy little kid.
Yeah.
But just listening and internalizing that from, for some reason, from a fearful mindset. And my mother was a strict disciplinarian. Mm-hmm. My daddy was pretty peaceful and easygoing. But my mother was kind of a fiery little lady and so, and very much a take-care-of-business person. Mm-hmm. And so I think maybe combining that with, you know, I was in trouble if I didn't do what she said.
Yes. And that led to a lot of self-condemnation.
Absolutely.
You were constantly after yourself about
so
everything,
bad.
It seems.
Well, and if I couldn't figure out how to be good, I would at least figure out or do my darndest to figure out how to hide that I wasn't good.
and interestingly, that led to, by the time you were a teenager, I guess it was this constant examination of yourself, which included your physical being, mm-hmm. your body. You were not happy with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we all want love. That is one of the things that makes our lives meaningful and joyful. And so I was looking for the attention that I thought would make me happy. And as I looked around as a teenager and as I started feeling the excitement of having guys be interested in me, I looked at the guys that I thought were the coolest, mm-hmm. and I looked at the girls that they were dating, and they always seemed to be the skinny, cute girls. And so I started thinking, if I could just be skinnier, mm-hmm. I would be more attractive to these guys. So it wasn't until I was actually 17, almost 18, before I finally learned about binging, purging, actually the purging part, because I was good at binging. My mother made wedding cakes for people, and so there was always a little leftover wedding cake around, and my boyfriend and I would sit and eat cake and chat when we'd come home from our dates late at night, and then I would just be horrified that I had allowed myself to eat so much. And so I figured out that, you know, somebody actually told me, you could try this if you really are so mad at yourself for doing this, and you'll feel better. And guess what? I did feel better, at least for a little while. But then I became so trapped in that eating disorder that really took me down a path of self-condemnation and self-hatred and just total disgust and a very secret life.
Indeed.
And
yeah.
That was so hard to try to appear to be this perfect person that I was trying to be, and at the same time having this horrible secret.
How long did that last as you approached, you know, marriage and having children, that kind of thing? How long?
It was 7 years, and I actually went on my mission. I couldn't have been able to go today because I had an eating disorder, but of course they didn't even ask that. As far as I knew, there wasn't even a word eating disorder back then.
That's right.
But it lasted until the day I got married. And the reason that I feel so fortunate, my husband was a psychology major. And I knew that I couldn't go into a marriage without telling somebody. And that was kind of one of the reasons I didn't marry some of the other guys that proposed to me. So I thought, I could never tell them. Mm-hmm. I could never tell them about this. But when I started dating my husband, he was so comfortable for me that I've told him. When we started talking about marriage, I said, you need to know this about me. And he was like, no problem. I'm a psychology major. We'll just fix this right up, you know. And after, you know, for a little while, I was good. But then when I started failing again, he said, okay, you know, let's not talk about this till after we're married.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then on the day we got married, he said, I do not care how fat you get. Take responsibility for everything that goes in your mouth. That's all I ask. And then, of course, there were many other changes in my life. I started teaching school right when we got married. We had our, you know, new lifestyle and everything. And with all those changes, I was able to make that transition much more easily than I would have ever expected.
We're visiting with Ilona Shelley, Confessions of a Molly Mormon, how you can trade perfectionism for peace. We'll be right back.